Hi folks, Matt McSpirit here, Technical Evangelist, bringing you another module in our Azure Stack series where we look at Azure Stack for the developer. In this particular module, we're going to be taking a look in a little bit more depth about how we start to build applications and integrate Azure Stack with our hybrid CI/CD pipeline. And to help us do that, we've got Anjay from the Azure Stack team. Welcome.
Hello. Hi.
Tell us a bit about yourself.
So, hi, my name is Andre Ajoda. I am a program manager on the Azure Stack team.
Cool.
I work with Compute on Azure Stack and some of the developer scenarios and some of the open source scenarios that we have.
Excellent. So you're going to take us through everything we need to know, or at least a decent amount of what we need to know about building a hybrid cloud CI/CD pipeline. And obviously, if you're not familiar with DevOps processes, this will be a good intro for people as well.
Absolutely.
Cool. So what do we need to know? How should we start off?
So we'll just talk about, you know, some of the problems you have when delivering software. You know, sometimes it's frustrating. Sometimes you have to file tickets. You have to, you know, there's always stress that comes about bringing new features, and you have to worry about getting it released. You know, there's lots of delays. You know, maybe you need some new hardware. Maybe you need more capacity. Mm-hmm. Maybe you need to get a signature on something. And then once you've got it out in the field, you have a lack of insights. You know, maybe you have some really good telemetry, but more often than not, people don't know what their customers are doing unless they go up to them and say, hey, what are you doing?
So do you find a lot of development processes are very manual, and because of these kind of challenges that people, the frustration of not being able to get the insights, or the frustration with not knowing how effective their software is once it's been deployed?
Right. No, it's very manual right now. And usually, you know, it's I need to file a ticket or I need to get approval. And we're trying to streamline that process so people can bring out bigger features faster and make them work just as well.
Okay. And so how does DevOps solve some of this sort of stuff?
So DevOps, especially with the cloud, makes adoption of these processes a lot easier. You know, you get a lot of self-service functionality. You can easily go click on the portal or run a command and deploy a virtual machine or any other thing you wanted to deploy in Azure. You get really rapid deployment times. It's a lot faster for me to deploy a virtual machine through the public cloud, through Azure, rather than me filing a ticket or asking for a server to be racked.
And we saw how quick that was in the module with Ricardo earlier, where just a couple of lines of PowerShell and boom.
Absolutely.
You've got a new workload, a new application, a multi-tier application, a hybrid application. So for developers and people who are doing testing as well, whether it's automated or manual still, it's a significant streamlining of that part of the process.
Yeah, absolutely. It's super fast compared to normal development processes. And the big part is that just like you have application code and application configurations, you can take your infrastructure, that setup or those tiers, and condense them into code that you can version it and you can interact with it just like you would your regular code,
right,
your application.
So I could define my web front end as code in order to deploy two VMs, a load balancer, the necessary storage, the network connectivity between them. I'm defining all of those building blocks as code now, rather than me clicking new VM, give it a name, Web01, and so on.
Right, exactly. It's as if, like, you take your building blocks and you condense them into things that you can just play with and move around really quickly.
Cool, all right.
So, and the reason that this is very important is that we want to make this, with a new consistent platform of Azure Stack, we want to make sure that you can use these processes both in the private cloud with an Azure Stack and in the public cloud on Microsoft Azure itself.
Right. So a lot of people benefiting and using DevOps processes are using them against public cloud. But we want to say, well, look, you know, if you need to do this on-prem or you want to do hybrid, Azure Stack's a great solution for that.
Exactly. We want to make the transition from public to private or back and forth, or even a hybrid deployed scenario, just extremely seamless.
Right, okay, cool.
So I've got here some DevOps practices like infrastructure as code, continuous integration, automated testing, continuous deployment, and release management. Those are probably terms you've heard before, and you know, they get thrown around a lot. They're pretty cool buzzwords. And what they really boil down to is using automation and versioning to make sure that the software you're releasing is keeping up with the competition and it's written just as well as before, and it's even faster.
Okay, cool.
So, I mean, just as some of the terms we've got here, continuous integration, you know, a developer checks in his code, it goes to version control, you know, TFS or GitHub or anything like that. It's automatically built and tested, and if there's an issue, then developer is notified and he's able to recommit his code. And once it passes, and it's validated automatically. That's the big kicker with all of these processes. They're mostly automated.
Yeah.
You know, then it's deployed. It gets put out to acceptance testing.
That could be automated as well.
It can be automated, UI automation. And once, if that doesn't pass, you can try again. Once that passes, and it's approved, it goes to user testing, which may or may not be automated. And then once it's approved there, it's been sent out to release.
Right, so you've gone through a number of those key components of the DevOps pipeline, the DevOps processes, not just continuous integration. There was all sorts of release management, there was testing, there's all sorts of key things that people can utilize there to streamline the whole process.
Right, and you know, we have six blocks on the screen and, you know, four out of six of them are automated.
Right.
And so infrastructure as code is a big part of allowing that automation to happen. You know, we have templates in Azure and Azure Stack. They're ARM templates, Azure Resource Manager. They're these JSON template documents that allow you to define your each part, like a virtual machine as a block of JSON, a load balancer as a block, and storage as a block. And you can change them around and put them together at will. And we have a lot of quick templates available online for people to get started.
Right.
And we have automation. So today we're going to use Jenkins, but we'll show you how you can automate testing of that infrastructure that you've defined. And of course, it's versioned, and we can just commit it back and forth to a repository, and we can even, you know, even if I break it, I can say git, you know, revert commit and try again.
But Jenkins is just one example of a number of tools that are out there in around the DevOps ecosystem, if you will, because DevOps isn't a thing you buy, it's not a product. It's
right.
These tools, of which one tool may do multiple stages of the process, some tools may do only one. But you'll find, generally speaking, that if you're doing an end-to-end DevOps process or pipeline, that you're probably going to be using more than one of these tools.
Right. You can. There's a huge ecosystem around DevOps. You know, we even have, you know, TFS with Release Management or Visual Studio Online that can manage this pipeline for you. But, you know, there's also tons of open source tools like Jenkins. There's Travis. There's a lot of other ones.
Yeah. Cool.
And so infrastructure and configuration as code allow you to make sure that whatever configuration is deployed on your development, staging, and production environments is identical, that you're using the same configuration. There's not a little, you know, snag here that's going to trip you up when you really want to deploy and make your application available to everybody.
So just to delve into that a little bit more closely, the infrastructure and configuration as code, are they two separate things? Because infrastructure as code would be defined as the ARM template. But are we talking about configuration as code inside the VM once it's been deployed? Is that fair to make that assumption?
So that's actually also possible using Azure Resource Manager and
right.
Azure and Azure Stack. We have several extensions that you can run. For example, my demonstration uses the custom script extension once it's done to configure the virtual machine to my liking.
Right, okay.
But we could also, you know, use programs like Puppet or Chef, and that you can use their manifests or their documents, and you can version those too and keep those in your source code repository.
So it could be that your ARM template defines the outer layer of the infrastructure, the VMs, the network, the load balancers, the storage. Once it gets to a certain point in the deployment, calls those other technologies like Puppet or Chef
right.
or another that then inside the workload configures those two web servers to have the relevant content, the relevant ports, the relevant whatever it may be.
Absolutely.
Same with database, installs a package, triggers an update, whatever it may be.
Absolutely. DevOps is a very open-ended process. You can customize it to how you like.
Right. Cool.
And whatever works for your organization.
Right.
And so automated testing of this infrastructure and of my code in general allows me to have a really quick feedback loop to make sure that everything is working correctly and allows me to correct problems faster. So because I know I'm using the same thing on all of my different sets of infrastructure, if something goes wrong in one, I can correct it and know that that problem is solved before I move on to the next stage.
Right.
Which allows us to have more frequent releases and an accelerated time to deployment to get new features out to the public.
Nice. Which is ultimately the goal of any developer is to
exactly.
get things moving quickly, get new releases, new versions. And you see that all the time with more modern applications on the phone and so on. New version 82.1.2, and it was 3 days ago. You know, and the new build today, new build tomorrow. So yeah, just the speed at which we're enabling these kind of things is powerful.
It's very powerful. We really want developers to be able to have an impact as quickly as they want to.
Cool. So shall we take a look at some of this technology in action?
So let's go through a little flowchart first.
Right.
Right now, what we've got is I have all my source code and my ARM templates stored in GitLab, an on-premise version of Git source control.
Right.
And then I'll commit a change that adds a load balancer. Jenkins will take my project, run some tests on it, deploy it to public Azure, and if the same tests succeed, it'll then deploy it to Azure Stack for a production deployment.
Okay, so to clarify then, Jenkins is going to be watching this repository for changes.
Yes.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
So when you make that change, it's going to say, okay, something's changed here. I'm going to run the relevant necessary defined build steps to build the project, the system, but it's in Azure, public cloud. It's going to deploy to Azure initially for that initial dev test deployment.
Yes.
And then if everything works to your liking or its liking more specifically, then you've decided, you know what, Azure Stack is going to be my production place where this is going to run.
So now that we've gone over kind of the structure of this, let's go ahead and look at the environment. So I've got my my Visual Studio Code editor open here. I have a demo web app open. It's a simple Node.js application. Mm-hmm. And so right now I've got a template that's currently my infrastructure, and I have a template with load balancer. You know, they're descriptively named. And I'm just comparing the two. You'll see there's a very huge section of green midway through the file. And it's a large block of ARM templating where I've added in a load balancer, microsoft.network/load balancers. And that's the chunk I want to commit. So I'll go ahead and open up that file and just copy the entire thing.
And this is Visual Studio Code, if people aren't familiar with, which is a great free tool to actually start to edit ARM templates as one example.
It's incredibly powerful. It manages all of the different scripts that I have in here. It's very, very useful. So I've committed my template, and I've also got some tests to test the change out so that Jenkins knows to where to look for the different endpoints. So I have a test with load balancer, and I have a public test. I'll just copy that. Replace this. Save it. And as you can see, Visual Studio Code knows that a change has occurred in the repository, so I'll just commit it. Added load balancer. Commit. And then push it to my remote repository in the source control system. At this point, I can go to Jenkins, and you'll see in a little bit, once I refresh, you'll see a pending build that has started. Started by GitLab push.
Right.
But that's going to take a little while to run, so let's go ahead and look at the previous build I did. So as you can see, it ran some tests locally, listening on port 8081, all passing. Then it connected to Azure, and as you can see, it's deploying to the resource group name LBAP3 in West US.
Right.
That's public Azure. Once that succeeded, it ran some tests on that public endpoint again and gave me back the endpoint. That's clearly a public IP address. It's not one sitting on a private network anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
After that, it deployed it to, it promoted it to Azure Stack once it passed. And you'll see here, if you go all the way down, you'll see where it says it deployed to name LB Production 2.
Yeah.
And location local. That's my on-premise Azure Stack. Again, it ran those tests again and gave me an endpoint that is a private address space. So it's running on Azure Stack. So if I go here, this is the old app. As you can see, if I refresh it, nothing changes.
Yeah.
But if I go here, I create my new app, you can see the IP address is different, 10.12.0.4. If I open an in private window, I go to the same IP address, and the IP address is different, 10.12.0.5.
So your load balancer is essentially sending you to the other web front end.
Right. It's the same code. All I did was check in the code. It was automatically versioned. It was built and tested 3 times.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was able to push that change to my infrastructure without, you know, filing a ticket, installing anything, any new hardware. I literally just put in a block of text, committed it, and it worked.
And Jenkins did the vast majority of that.
Right.
The second half of the process, sure.
Exactly.
For, yeah.
And it spanned both public and private clouds. It tested on the public cloud and then deployed it to production on the private cloud.
Right, cool. Powerful stuff.
It is very powerful. And it should streamline a lot of pipelines.
Cool. Is there anything else that you would recommend for people getting started? Where should people go? What should people do? If I'm a developer or I'm just getting started with Azure, Azure Stack, what's going to be the best thing for them?
I'd advise you to look at the Azure Resource Manager white paper. And then if you want to get started, you can either deploy Azure Stack on your own, or if you want to try developing with using Azure Stack's capabilities in Azure, we have an ARM policy that allows you to make an Azure subscription act exactly like Azure Stack.
Right.
And you can get started with that.
Cool. So just elaborate on that for a little bit more detail. So you're essentially saying we can put rails around somebody's subscription to ensure that if they're building for Azure Stack and Azure compatibility, that's the way to do it.
Yeah, we like to call it guardrails. You know, what we do is we set it up so that if something isn't available on Azure Stack just yet, it won't let you deploy that resource in Azure.
Mm-hmm.
So that way you know that when you do get Azure Stack, that whatever you built will work just fine.
Right. Okay, so cool. So check out the white paper. Obviously, there's lots of other useful videos at Ignite, just recent conference. We've got the tool, and we'll provide lots of other useful links for you as well at the bottom under the video. But with that, thanks, Sanjay, for his time. Great insight into to building a hybrid CI/CD pipeline using Azure and Azure Stack. And stick with us as we look at more of the modules around Azure Stack for the developer. Thanks.